In this present crisis, government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem.
This is the I Spy Radio Show.
You and I have a rendezvous with destiny.
Keeping an eye on big government.
We the people tell the government what to do. It doesn't tell us.
The trouble with our liberal friends is not that they're ignorant. It's just that they know so much that isn't so.
And now, here is your host, Mark Anderson.
And thank you for joining us today on the iSpy Radio Show. We have an absolutely fascinating and stunning show for you today. If you are a conservative like me, at some point in the last few years, you've probably turned to a friend or loved one and said, "What is going on with America?" If you've ever felt like the American way of life and our Judeo-Christian heritage and culture is under attack, I'm here to tell you today, it is. You've heard of jihad, an Islamic term meaning to struggle and persevere. It's warfare. Except jihad is not just guns and bombs or beheadings. There's a silent and in many ways more sinister jihad. It's cultural jihad. It is happening, and it's been happening for several decades. Your unease with watching our American culture slip away, today's show will justify those fears. We're talking with a former cultural jihadist, Kamal Saleem. He came here long before the first World Trade Center bombing to wage war on American culture from within. There is a great video on our website, iSpyRadio.com, that will tell you all about our guest and his story. It is exceptionally moving. It's only about 8 minutes, and you can share it on Facebook or Twitter. But in brief, he was trained as a martyr from an early age, age 7, and he was sent to a training camp where he was taught not just warfare, but cultural jihad techniques. He was then chosen to wage cultural jihad here in the U.S., except after infiltrating America and after beginning to wage his silent war from within, a strange and remarkable thing happened. He was saved from death for a reason, and now has made it his mission to convert Muslims and to wake up America and the church to what is happening right under our noses. I'd like to welcome Kamal Saleem, who quite literally by the grace of God is alive today to talk to you about his former life as a cultural jihadist. Kamal, thank you so much for joining us today.
Well, thank you for having me. It's an honor being with you.
You know, in the video that I mentioned in our opener, you describe your mother telling you, quote, "One day you will be a martyr, my son. You will die for the sake of Allah and you will exalt Islam. If you kill a Jew, your hand will light up before the throne of Allah and the host of heaven will celebrate what you have done." That's shocking to Western sensibilities and certainly to people who grew up in Christian homes. How commonplace, though, was your mother's wishes for you in an Islamic culture?
Well, you got to understand, in Islam, there is a doctrine called al-wala wal-bara'a, meaning in English is to love and be loyal to Allah, to everything He commanded, and hate everything He hated. So this is a cornerstone in Islam. So therefore, when a mother is teaching her child something like this, she is, number one, telling him exactly the love of Islam and how Allah think and want us to fulfill His purpose. That's number one. Number two is martyrism in Islam. You know, when you are leading and teaching your children to die as a martyr, in Islam, in the teaching of the Quran, every Muslim will have to go to hell first. Mm-hmm. You know, and purified for hundreds of thousands of years. The only exception over there is it's when a Muslim die for the sake of Allah, given offering his blood in sacrifice to kill other infidels, and by doing so, he will be he will allow 70 of his immediate family to go to paradise. So that's a teaching in Islam. That's why so many young men are sent by their own families.
Wow. You know, I don't think that I had ever heard that theology before. I didn't know that by being a martyr, you were bringing your family immediately into heaven with you. That's really interesting.
I teach on this. This is why, you know, there are so much out there against me and for me, because when we bring the heart of Islam, many people are speaking on Islam from things they read or learned. I am what they're learning. I am what they're reading. This is my life. I came from among them. And that's what makes us dangerous to this present darkness.
Yes, you absolutely know what you're talking about. So the Quran was a big part of your early training, obviously. But in your reading of it, was there ever question marks in your mind about the teachings? I mean, that made you sit back and think, you know, something about that just doesn't sound right.
Well, here's the thing. You're a child. You're in love with your mom, your family, everything. And what they're teaching you, it is, it's the milk of truth that, you know, that's what you grow up with. An elephant, baby elephant, who is broken at his young age when they put the chain on his leg, and he could not break away from the circus. And one day he became an old elephant, and now he has no motivation to break. That was his lifestyle, and that's part of his life, and that's what, you know, he believes in. So it is, it's an identity burned, and, you know, set in deep root in Islamic teaching.
Well, you know, almost always in the wake of an Islamic attack, a Muslim apologist will come on TV and say, this is not Islam, that Islam is a religion of peace. To be clear, the Quran does talk about killing Jews and Christians, does it not?
Absolutely. The Quran, one-third of Sharia law, one-third of Sharia law, the teaching of the Quran, of the tradition, the Hadith, and the Sirah, which is the biography of Muhammad, one-third of it, all of it is on jihad, based on jihad. Jihad is one-third of the teaching of Islam to penetrate the world. So basically, when you look at this, it is the cornerstone. It is the cornerstone of Islam. Islam is built on jihad. As a matter of fact, when you look at the Shia did not hide their sixth pillar, which is jihad, while the Sunni hides it, and that's why they tell you it is not true. And in Islam, we must understand as a civilization, jihad is mandated. So therefore, when a Muslim is engaged in something, to lie for the sake of Allah, it's considered jihad. So therefore, al-baqiyya as a doctrine, it is lying by omission to deceive your enemy. And Muhammad said it in tradition. He said, befriend your enemy until they become your slaves. So therefore, it's a theology of deception.
You know, we were talking about your youth here, and I think what would be really shocking to people to hear is that you started attending a training camp, a terrorist training camp at age of 7. I mean, that's like a first or second grader. And you went on your first mission to Israel soon thereafter. So what were you trained to do at that age? Did they actually teach you to kill?
Oh, absolutely. You don't go, to the training camp to play patty cake. You know, you go over there to understand how to instill fear of your enemy and how to take your enemy down or out or subjugate them to slavery. These are all mandates of Islam. These are all of them in Sharia law, which is constitute this to the Muslim what to do. It's the only religion that command you to do this, to kill in the name of your God and destroy in the name of God and also to enslave in the name of your God. That's why I believe Allah, you know, the God of Islam and Jehovah God Almighty are not the same gods. One of them is not telling the truth.
Great way to put it. Okay, we are up against a break here. Everyone stay with us. When we come back, we'll talk about some of the training that he learned at that camp about cultural warfare and his journey to the U.S. Stay with us. And welcome back to the iSpy Radio Show. Glad you're joining us today as we talk with Kamal Salim, a former jihadist with the PLO and Muslim Brotherhood who was trained from an early age to kill Americans, Jews, and Christians. And you know, this is just shocking stuff. We talked in the first segment there about how you started your training at age 7, and you're still at that age where you still depend on your mom and your dad. How on earth do they compel a child so young to be able to kill somebody?
Well, you see, we had 14 brothers and sisters in the house, and our house was, it is so small, three-room house, living room, bedroom, and a kitchen. So therefore, everything we have, it's the teaching of the Islamic teaching of Sharia, of the Quran, of the Hadith, of the Sirah. You know, so basically we believe, a true Muslim believe in jihad, believe in this, because that is the spirit of the teaching. Now, when we look at moderate Muslims, they don't believe in it because they modernized themselves on this and they decided they're not going to do it. But when you look at what Allah has and Muhammad has commanded us to do, it is our duty to do what we do. So it's not compelled. It is our duty to live that life.
Wow. Wow. Interesting mindset. So you undertook the training in cultural warfare, and was this a separate camp, or are combat and cultural war all part of the same training?
Well, I was recruited in a mosque, which is the Muslim temple. The Muslim temples are, this is where the recruitment takes place. And, under Bush, we had several hundred mosques, but under current government today, we have over 3,000 mosques that they are opening all over. And a lot of the ISIS, recruitment takes places, like Nidal Hassan, Fort Hood, just like Cernan Brothers in Boston. All of these people were recruited, including, Nolan in Oklahoma, who beheaded the women. All of them were recruited in the mosque. And the mosque is a place, where we train for in Islamic traditions and why we are superior. We are above, cut above all humanity, and humanity is under and beneath us. So therefore, all this is learned at the mosque. Now, when we go to the camp, the recruitment in the camp, that the whole Muslim Brotherhood that I was recruited by, they joined the PLO in Beirut, Lebanon, and I went to Sabra, Shatila, all those camps, which is, there are states within our state in Lebanon. They became an individual state that the Lebanese government could not go there, and there we were training with live weapon and everything. So it was the mandate of the Muslim that you could not fight by the word of Allah alone. The second part is equal to the word. It is a sword that you see on the Saudi flag. You see it on the majority of the Islamic, movement, specifically in the Muslim Brotherhood. They have two swords. It says, well, our Odin will come back and we'll take dominion, and do whatever we have to do. This is part of the teaching. Islam started by the sword. When it started at the beginning, the word was not effective. So when Muhammad reverted from the word by itself, peaceful word, and he went to the sword, even Allah, the God of Islam, has abrogated what Muhammad did. So therefore, Muhammad went from peaceful to radical, and now Allah said, I have changed my mind, and I'm giving you something better than what I've given you before. So therefore, this will abrogate everything. It replaces everything, and you'd better do it.
Wow.
So therefore, it became a place of recruitment. Muhammad went from 100 plus, person who followed him in over 10 years to he was recruiting several thousand every month because he was giving them loot, women, finances, and just like what ISIS is doing today.
Wow. So you did come to America, and I'm curious, who paid for you to come to America? Were you sponsored? Did they handle things like passports, immigration papers, or was that all part of your training?
Well, America has several ways of, weak ways for it. There are strengths and there are weaknesses. As American, I speak from the American standard, and this is, when we opened our door in the United States of America for, student to come to the United States from all over the world. These people, these students were cultured in here and sent back home to affect the culture. But the Muslim Brotherhood understood that, the infiltration of America must take place. And so therefore, we have to establish an Islamic authority at the universities and colleges that the Muslim will not convert. In the meantime, they are recruited and turned from peaceful, from moderate to radical, based on the theology of abrogation. And by so, they create a remnant, radical. When they go home, they establish Islamization of radical Islamization versus the past. So when the Saudi government gives visas to me and many others, we are sent specifically. When my last encounter when I went to Afghanistan, before the war started, I want to teach the Mujahideen how to shoot Tiki missiles. And the ideology behind it was, if we teach these Muslims how to fight for themselves, they can win this war without the help of the United States of America. Why we want them to win this? Because we are seeing the Crusaders are the main defenders of Islam. just like what happened in Kuwait, just like what happened with the Taliban, just like what happened in Serbia. You know, America went over there and defended the Muslims against radicalism, whether Russia or, you know, radical Christianity or radical whatever it may be. So therefore what happened, they don't want America to win again. When we went over there, we found that the Muslims had not committed to protect our brothers and sisters up there in Afghanistan. Nobody want to commit because we are divided against each other and killing each other every day. So there's definitely, there's no agreement. So when we saw the American came and they started helping us to save our life and give us victory without being involved with weapons, this is when I wrote my letter to the Saudi government, to the Saudi prince, and I said, we're going to lose the war to another crusader nation, to America. And the reason we will is because these people are committed to give their life, their finances, their children, their weaponology, every sacred honor they have, including their virtue, they put it online for us. And if we don't have this understanding, we will not win this war. And if we did not, you know, that's my letter.
What an absolutely unique perspective on all of that. Boy, all right, unfortunately, we are up against a break here. Everyone stay with us. We'll have more with Kamal Saleem, a former jihadist with the PLO and Muslim Brotherhood. And coming up, we'll be talking about what happened once he got here in America. And welcome back to the iSpy Radio Show, talking today to Kamal Saleem. He was raised in a radical Islamic home, taught to hate Jews and Christians, and attended a terrorist training camp from the age of 7, where he learned to not only kill, but to wage a cultural war from within. He then moved to America, where he was spared from death for a reason, and now his ministry is to reach Muslims to bring them to the freedom of knowing Jesus. And I love how you put it on your website, to see Ishmael redeemed. I think that's just terrific. On our website, iSpyRadio.com, we have a ton of great resources and links for you, including links to his website, which is KOOMEMinistries.com. That's K-O-O-M-E Ministries.com. And so before we get into your actual experiences once you got here to the United States, you going through these training camps, this was back in the 80s. I mean, this was before the World Trade Center or 9/11. When you've talked to people, are they shocked to hear that there were already active terrorist training camps going on at this time?
Well, you know, now they're believing. When I started the ministry a while back, you know, about 12, 14 years ago, and we talk about similar stuff like this, people have no understanding to comprehend what you're talking about. Mm. And some people criticize it. They said there's no such a thing. You know, because people are looking from Western perspective, like if it happens here, it could happen anywhere, and it has not happened. So, but now a lot of my critics, you know, out there, they are, you know, there were a multitude of them. Now they are my best friend. All of them calling me and they said, forgive us. We really miss, you know, you told us about this 10 years ago, and now we're coming to see everything coming together, especially when I wrote my book, The Blood of Lambs. I put this whole thing, how everything is described and what's taking place. I spoke about this, and a lot of people laughed at it, but now everybody's going like, he told us.
Yeah, yeah. Well, certainly people can see all of this starting to unfold for sure, and it's interesting that 9/11 kind of woke people up to you know, maybe open their eyes, so to speak, in terms of how this is all unfolding. So you had chosen America, and on that video, which we'll put up on iSpyRadio.com, you had mentioned that you specifically chose the Bible Belt because you kind of felt this was the heart of America and that was really where you were called to go. So talk to us a little bit about that, how you got here and why you maybe elaborate a little bit more on why you thought the Bible Belt was the best place for you.
Well, you know, Europe, I was in Europe before I came to the United States of America. I was in England and France, all those nations. And Europe was falling. And there are a multitude of Islamic brother like me. They were growing by massive number, not by the hundred, but by the several thousand, you know, and we know that Europe is destined to fall sooner or later, you know. Yeah. But America held tyranny, held, you know, America is the great Satan to us. And if we bring the United States of America down, then we can bring the whole free world down, the whole Western civilization. And that's why it's critical what's happening in our current government today. It is opening the way of Islamicizing the United States of America and bringing this radical Islam to the USA and worldwide. All of it, it is designed. But nevertheless, I chose America is because, I had the experience. My heart is sold out. And when I came to America, the American people, they are, one of their strengths, one of the greatest strengths that they have is their weaknesses. And that is they trust everyone and they believe in everyone. Mm. And they just, because you don't teach to lie here, your children, your family, your school, while over there, we're taught to lie from our childhood. It's considered righteousness when you lie to your enemy, and so therefore what happened is, when you got the culture like this, you found this culture is sleep. 9/11, it helped the American people discover their time clock. They only hit the snooze button 1 week, 7 days later after it happened. It did not affect them because it's another Hollywood movie. They are desensitized, and so therefore what we come into in here, it is, the infiltration came to the United States of America in 1960. That's when my first group came to the United States, the Muslim Brotherhood. Today they are called Council American Islamic Relation.
Yes.
They are the same people who attack, noble man. His name is Ben Carson. He's a great American hero, and they tackled him because they are projecting their terrorism on him. ISNA, Islamic Society of North America, MAS, Muslim American Society, Muslim Student Association, Muslim Student Union, all these are organizations united together, and there's several hundred of them, all of them Muslim Brotherhood, and their theology is to establish Islamic shadow government in the United States of America and hope one day to replace this current civilization with Islam. So therefore, this is the part that I came with, before they were pronounced. At that time, it was early stage. And when I came here, I had several commissions. One of them was the school, university. Over there, our first commission is really to infiltrate the American culture.
Let me interrupt you right there. You said you had a commission. So this is very organized. This isn't just some lone wolf like what they like to portray it on the media. You are actually operating under orders.
Absolutely. Everything, it's structured.
Wow.
It is set together. It has been studied. There is, if you want to learn about this and you don't find out what all that took place, there is the Holy Land Foundation trial versus the U.S., versus the USA. It's online in Texas. This is when they found the Islamic Manifesto. How they're going to destroy the United States of America, and who are these organizations?
Yes.
And now they're changing their names. And how they're going to destroy it, by what mean, what way, what steps. They have five steps. Today they are on the fourth step. They have accelerated in the last 7 years. Their agenda accelerated to the forefront, and they have accomplished a lot. And so, therefore, this is not a conspiracy. This is a reality. And a lot of them today, these people who were condemned as the enemy of the United States under the previous president, today they are the friend of the United States, and they are serving under our current, in the White House, celebrating the month of Ramadan, right there replaced the National Day of Prayer. This is the things are happening. The things are shifting by design.
Yeah.
It is
really shocking to see that unfold, and I know what you're talking about with that trial in Texas, and we actually have that manifesto, and we'll put that up on iSpyRadio.com. Unfortunately, we're getting close to break, and I really want to get onto your conversion experience and what really changed your life around going from a jihadist to somebody that's actually trying to convert Muslims. Everyone stay with us. We'll have more on that when we come back on the iSpy Radio Show. And welcome back to the iSpy Radio Show. Talking today to Kamal Salim, a former jihadist with the PLO and Muslim Brotherhood who is trying to awaken America and the church to the dangers of radical Islam, which he believes is the most broadly disguised present danger to Christians, Jews, and all non-Muslim people of the world. you know, Kamal, you had come to America to destroy it from within. But then, and you moved to the Bible Belt, the heart of the nation, and you were had actually already started to convert some people, and were reaching out to young men from prisons and so on. And you had a car wreck that changed your life forever. Could you explain what happened and the change that that occurred?
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, I came to the Bible Belt, the area that I was commissioned to infiltrate that area. And one day I had a car wreck that ended up in ejecting out of my car, falling on my head upside down, cracking my neck in two places. And you know, all this happened to me. And I was devastated. And this man came running to me, and he said, "Son, we're going to take care of you, and everything's going to be all right." As he pulled his T-shirt off, and he dried my face from the mud that was taking place, you know, that was on me. He kept, you know, smiling, assuring me the same thing. And then the ambulance picks me up, takes me to the hospital. Now the orthopedic surgeon telling me the same thing. Tell me, you are a French citizen. You have no family. You have no friends. You have no insurance. But he smiled and he said, "Son, we're going to take care of you, and everything's going to be all right." He spoke the same word verbatim. Then I turn around, and what happened is when I wake up in the hospital, then the head of physical therapy, he tells me the same thing verbatim after he read my chart. And I was really, you know, alerted and scared, because in my world, we believe in demons. And we believe in good demons and bad demons. We believe in a lot of things. And now I'm thought, this isn't, they're coming after me because this is a conspiracy. They speak into the same language, because in my world, if I said, "I'm going to take care of you," you'd better run for your life. But these people meant something different. Taking care of you over here is to make you loved, fat, and happy, you know, and everything is all right, while over there in the Middle East, we kill you, you know, because you're not lining up with us. So in their home, you know, one of the doctors took me to his home, and their home, it was the best thing ever happened to me. They gave me the best room. They taught me something different. I start seeing a new love that I was never aware of. It's called unconditional love. In their room, their children climb on a bed and welcome me as Uncle Kamal. And when I shunned them out, they prayed for me in the name of Jesus. And now I felt like being intelligent, you know, penetrating this nation. I know these kids have something stronger than what I have, that they have the power to pray. We were not taught how to pray like this. And these young kids were praying for me and not against me, you know, or like a generality. And so therefore what happened in their home, I started watching the relationship between a husband and wife and their children. And no matter how high he is as a surgeon and how big he is, he was her co-equal. While in the Muslim world, a woman is second citizenship. You have the right to correct her, to beat her up, to jail her, even to take her head off. You can divorce her. She cannot divorce you. You have her children. She cannot have them. You know, a lot of things upside down. A woman is not equal. If her husband doesn't go to paradise, then she doesn't go either. You know, she stays in hell. Even though Muhammad, the Prophet of Islam, said, "I looked upon hell and I saw it. The fuel of hell was made of women." Now, in their home, these men would come once a week, and there's other men joined them. There are 60 men, and they would pray for me. They put in a circle, and they put a big basket that says, "For Kamal Salim, to forgive all my debts in full," you know, for what I owe the hospital. And at the end of it, I was my eyes. The Word of God says that, you know, the God of this world has blinded the unbelievers. That's the gospel of good news of Jesus Christ. Open the eyes and the ears of the understanding. And the good news was God's people. And now I was watching the biggest Bible opening before me, how they lived their life. And when my eyes opened, I saw that my God and your God are not the same. We were taught from our childhood that we all worship the same God, that Adam and Eve and Jesus Christ and Moses, all of them were Muslims. But now I'm thinking to myself, well, this is not what I learned. And I'm watching all this, and I'm falling in love with these people to the point that I want to protect them from me and people like me.
Wow.
And now they bring their Jewish friends, and I'm falling in love with the people that they just love me, and they didn't say, "You're Muslim, we need to kill you." These people says, "We've been praying for people like you to open their eyes to open up." So one day the doctor bring me a set of key to the house, and he gives me, he said, "Come, you know, now you're our babysitter in a way, and you know, and we bought you a new car to replace your old car. You can come anytime, stay here over the weekend, do whatever you want." And I'm going, "I'm not feeling well yet. Can I stay a couple more months before I go?" I was so hooked on their love, you know, and I want more. I don't want to leave them. And when I went home, I was there waiting for the biggest, greatest awakening in my life. There, I fell on my knees in defeat, knowing for the first time that my theology is not real. And when I modeled the two gods, and I start looking at two gods, one God so loved the world, one God so hated the world, his name is Allah, and the other one is Jehovah. One God so loved the world that he gave, one so hated that he took. One gave his son, and he brought the spirit of adoption of Jesus Christ. One brought an orphan man who brought an orphan spirit, a failing spirit, that is now is taking people out of the grafting of the promise. And then one gave his life and gave his blood. One took lives and took humanity. Over 300 million lives were taken by the sword of Islam. So therefore, one healed the blind, one shunned the blind, told him he's blind, he could not use him. One told the prostitute, "You're free." One told the prostitute, you know, he commended her for her stoning. It is the opposite polar. They are not the same God. And I'm going like, "Oh my Allah, I've been lied to." You know, so I fell on my knees facing the east and I cried to my God, "Allah, Rabbi wa Mawlai, my Lord and my King, why have you done such a thing to me? I'm not talking about the car wreck. I'm talking about putting me among Christians." These Christians have relationship with their God. They cry for love, for healing. They cry for different things, and their Father answered them to the point they said, "God spoke to me. I heard him saying, I want to have a relationship with you too. I want to hear that you love me. Allah, if you're real, speak to me." Allah did not speak. That day I came to the end of my life and I thought, I'll clock out. Why? Because if I go to my comrade and said, "I don't want to be part of this anymore," and I'm their leader, guess what? This is a one-way ticket. You cannot leave once you enter. You will have to kill me. If I go to my father doing the same thing, my brothers, my sixth brother will hold me and my dad will take my head off. So I thought I'll die as a warrior. And as I came to grab my gun, I challenged Islam according to the teaching that I learned, that if you are a true radical Muslim and believe in Allah, and you challenge him, and what happened, Allah will kill you. I said to him, "Allah, if I die today and I see your face and you say, 'Come, Muslim, you're going to go to hell,' I'm going to say I'd rather live in hell than live with you, because I asked you, I fought you out, I knocked on your door, and you did not do anything, so therefore I could not believe you are who you are. So therefore, I'd rather live in hell." And as I did that, nothing happened as well. So I came to my shame, and I learned for the first time that everything I've done in my world, it's what I've done. It is not because what he's done or what he told me to do. He used me for that purpose. I was used, and I survived all these deaths better. And now when I came to all this, I start laughing because I was the joke and I was the joker. So I went to reach my gun, and there I heard the voice of my father. He called me by my name. He knew my name. He called me three times as a son. And he said, "The Muslim and the Jews and the Christian, they call on the God of Father Abraham. Won't you call on the God of Father Abraham and Isaac and Jacob?" There I fell on my knees and I lifted up my hand to the heaven and I cried with a loud voice, "God of Father Abraham, if you are real, God of Father Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, if you are real, speak to me. I want to know you." Well, behold, the God of Father Abraham He filled the room with his glory, and his name was Yahweh. There he stood. He's dressed like a Jew. He spoke like a Jew. He looked like a Jew. He has holes in his hand and his feet, and his name is Jesus. And I said to him, "Who are you, my Lord?" He said, "I am that I am." I said, "I'm a Bedouin. I have no clue. I never studied. What is that supposed to mean?" He said, "I am the Aleph. I am the Tav. I am the beginning. I am the end. I have known you before I created the foundation of the earth. I have loved you before I formed you in your mother womb. Kum Kamal, arise. You are my warrior. You are not their warrior." As I rose up, my neck was intact, my collarbone, my body was whole. But the greatest miracle was not the physical. The greatest miracle that my heart and my mind were transformed. Wow. I was knitted again. I was spun on a wheel. And I start feeling for the first time, I'm a real boy. I'm a real man. And I said to him, my Lord, I will live and die for you. He said, do not die for me. I died for you that you may live.
Wow.
I said, my Lord, I'm a warrior. By the skin of their teeth and by their eyelashes, I will make them Christians, just like I did it in Islam. He said, the harvest is plentiful. The workers are few. Be an ambassador of mine. Come on. Wow. Be an ambassador of mine.
Wow, that is, you know, that is so powerful. And you know, when I listen to you there, I can just see the hand of God through all of that. I mean, the accident, the doctors, the people that you were surrounded with, and I just love how you end that there. That God told you that you are His warrior, not theirs. All right, we will have more with Kamal Saleem, a former jihadist with the PLO and Muslim Brotherhood. Stay with us. We're going to have some more information on the infiltration and then also some of his present ministry. Stay with us. And welcome back to the iSpy Radio Show. Fascinating discussion today with Kamal Saleem, a former cultural jihadist. After moving to the Bible Belt, he converted to Christianity and now works to reach out to Muslims to bring them to the freedom and liberty of Jesus Christ. His website is koomministries.com. That's K-O-O-M-E ministries.com. And, you know, there are so many questions that I have here, but I know that we're getting down on our time. Would you say that there are active jihad training camps going on right now in America?
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, Newland was, you know, he was a black American who was in a jail in Oklahoma. He was recruited. He was converted to Islam, and he was sent to the mosque, and he was there. They changed him, and they start infiltrating his understanding, and he was sent to train. And one day, he beheaded one person, and he was beheaded the second one. We know that there are camps all over the United States of America. This is where they send those inmates, and the Nation of Islam is doing a lot of training in those camps as well.
And we've got some current events going on right now. We see the Syrian refugees moving into Europe, and there is rumors that a lot of them are going to end up here. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, it started with the Arab Spring. And after the Arab Spring, we turned against all leaderships in the Middle East that they were on our side, that America helped put in places, from Hosni Mubarak, you know, all these guys. And then all of a sudden we turn against them, and now we are executing them at a point that we brought a radical group called the Muslim Brotherhood. We put them in power in those places and caused the Middle East to blow up, including Syria. And all the promises that we did, we evacuated, the Middle East, and now we let it collapse. Knowing when this happened, that these refugees has no place to go, the only place will take them, because the Muslim nations will not take them. Mm. The only place will take them is European nations and, Western civilization. And with this agenda, now we have the amnesty put to one place, the Dream Act in another place, and the new sworn allegiance in our American new citizenship. Now, it exempts the Muslims to be American soldiers or fight on the American, side against the Islamic nation. This has just been changed by our current president, and and everything they are assimilating our laws and bylaws, including the Obamacare, exempt the Muslims, from being, penalized by this. So now it's equipping the Muslim to come here and live fervently and allow, the American people to invest in their future in a way that they don't have to pay up for anything, but we have to pay for them legally.
Yeah.
And they don't have to pay for it. So anyhow, when we look at all this, everything has been set in place. And now when we see America has brought several hundred thousand Somalis, which is, we fought them under the Black Hawk Down with General Jerry Boykin. These were brought to the United States of America without legality. Nobody knew about them. And they put them in refuge cities. And Muslims today are joining ISIS. But when we look at...
Well, and just real quick, we're coming up on a break here. Do you think that opening the door to all these refugees is going to let in other jihadists like yourself, cultural or combat-wise?
Absolutely. A lot of these kids have been trained in camps over there. A lot of them are you know how to do it, mixing chemicals or whatsoever. But here's the ultimate thing. ISIS said, in what we were sending you here, we're sending 4,000 ISIS infiltrated to the United States.
Wow, shocking stuff. All right, we are up against a break here. When we come back, we'll ask him whether Ben Carson was right. And welcome back. Sadly, we are into our final segment with Kamal Saleem, a former jihadist. He had originally come to America to destroy it from within and to wage a culture war, except that he's now working in reverse, trying to reach out to Muslims who he considers to be a lost and oppressed people. And so, unfortunately, we are very short on our time right now. What are your thoughts on Ben Carson? Was he right in saying what he said?
Well, they asked him, do you want a Muslim to lead this nation? And he said no. My answer would be no, too. And the reason that is because I came from that understanding. Our laws, Sharia law, is a higher and a different constitution than your constitution. So our loyalty is to our constitution, is not to any other constitution. So we must replace yours by ours. And therefore, it will be infiltration and it will be this, you know, clash of culture.
Hmm. And then in terms of fighting back, you've got some great information out there. You had mentioned during the break about a set of DVDs. Why don't you talk to our audience a little bit about that?
Well, General Jerry Boykin and I, we worked on a project called The Unveiling. It came in 12 DVDs, six called The Ugly Truth, and which is, you know, revealing the agenda and radical Islam in America and how they're establishing their governing. And the second one is called The Beautiful Truth, and it's about how to reach the Muslims, you know, in the promise that God gave to Abraham. And then Jesus came the way in life and truth 21 generations later, according to the book Jules 2, that God is pouring out his spirit on them. And we've seen 6 million Muslims every year in the last 10 years coming to Christ. And so therefore, this is made specifically to bring answers. What do we do now? Those six DVDs, and how do we go about it? What is your responsibility as an American citizen? And how to reach a Muslim to bring understanding how they think and how they think that we think, to bring all those together, how to dialogue, because when the 200,000, you know, refugees come to the United States of America, somebody has to reach out to them. And we have 2 years gateway here. If we don't reach them in 2 years of their arrival, then we will lose them to radical Islam. That is statistically proven. So therefore, what happened is these are curriculum done, you know, specifically teachers, professors, Wednesday night teaching, pastors, homeschoolers, missionaries, all the above. And also we have a book called The Coalition, done by General Jerry Boykin and myself. What may happen to America in the very near future if we don't wake up very fast.
And all of that can be found on your website, KOOMEMinistries.com. That's KOOMEMinistries.com. I've just been stunned by so much of what I've heard today, and I know that we'll have to definitely have you back. Kamal Saleem, I want to thank you so much for your time today.
Well, thank you for having me. God bless you for what you guys do. You're really worthy people to be supported and to be on the front line to do what you're doing.
Well, thank you so much. That's very kind. That is all our time for today on the iSpy Radio Show. Be sure to head to our website, iSpyRadio.com, and there is a ton of links up there and information about cultural jihad. And be sure to check out that video that I mentioned earlier about Kamal's story coming here to America and his conversion experience. Exceptionally moving, and it is something that you can share on Facebook to alert your friends and family to what's happening. Because as we say every week, the best information does you no good if you don't use it. Reagan, what do you think?
I do not believe in a fate that will fall on us no matter what we do. I do believe in a fate that will fall on us if we do nothing.
It's more than a show. It's self-defense. The I Spy Radio Show.